coming up.
It was as if you'd never said those words before.
We do come at this job from two very different directions, don't we?
Sticking it in the listener's ear.
Mind palace.
Wiggling it about.
I wonder what she did to the fourth wife.
And painting a picture.
Looking for love, are you interested?
Scraping the barrel, really, aren't they?
I would never have seen that coming at all.
Ooh, Philip, darkness coming from you.
Step away from the money laundering, love.
And always lock your computer.
It's been the best fun I have ever had on a podcast.
How do you say that?
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 Hello and welcome to How Do You Say That? Sponsored by BritishVoiceOver.co.uk. Now, if you like to chat about all things voiceover, you know, stuff like scripts and storytelling, how to get the most of the words on a page, you are in the right place, because this is a podcast for everyone and anyone who reads scripts out loud for whatever reason. So, let me introduce my co-host, Mark Rice.
Hello, hello. I read scripts out loud for a living.
Do you?
Honest, yes.
Right. Okay. Well, now, today's fun fact. Guys, I'm really apologise about the fun facts this week, because
they're scraping the barrel, really, aren't they?
The most exciting we've ever come up with. So, today's fun fact about Mark is he really can't bear beetroot or cauliflower, but yeah, he's okay with most other vegetables.
Yeah, they're horrible. Don't like cauliflower. Don't like beetroot.
Oh, you see, cauliflower's my go-to veg. I love it.
Oh, is it? Oh. All right. Well, if we ever go out and there's cauliflower on my plate, you can have mine. How about that?
Thank you, Mark.
Yay. Well, my co-host is Sam Boffin, and this is her fun fact. She prefers Cava to Prosecco. Is that just because it's a bit sweeter?
Cava's drier.
Oh, it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
You like it to take the roof of your mouth off.
Absolutely, and it has bigger bubbles.
Well, of course, we also have a special guest who this week is voice actor and radio presenter Philip Chrysikos. Hello, Philip.
Hello, thank you both for inviting me on.
Oh, no, you're more than welcome. It is great to have you here. Sam, let's find out more about Philip.
So Philip is an award-winning broadcaster, journalist, newsreader and voiceover artist with more than 25 years experience spanning the BBC, commercial and online outlets, and he does it all. Mm. He does everything from corporates to e-learning to in-flight announcements. I'd love to do an in-flight announcement. Telephone on hold, as well as radio and television commercials worldwide.
Well, he's also an InVision presenter and a music presenter on Smooth Radio in the UK. He's presented programmes on Capital FM London, has also been heard as a news broadcaster on Classic FM, Gold Heart, LBC, LBC News and Radio X. Oh, it's a lot, Philip, isn't it? Have you got a fun fact that you can share with us?
Yeah, mine is, I once worked at B&Q and Marty Pello, lead singer of Wet Wet Wet, was working in the carpet department. And those days, when he's got his big, gorgeous smile, even when he was younger, if ever there was a code 800, which was a customer complaint, the manager would always call for Marty. He was not a manager, a supervisor, just general assistant, to go and sort out the customer complaint. And as soon as the customers, especially the women, saw Marty come along and then, hey, you know, in a Scottish accent, can I help?
90% sorted. So he was just uber charming, was he?
Absolutely. It was the smile.
Amazing.
It just goes to show, you meet people in the strangest of places, don't you?
You do in the carpet department.
Amazing. Well, let's have a look at our first script of the show, shall we, and ask, how do you say that?
Play How Do You Say That?
So this is something that I've done reasonably recently.
It's an interesting one, this, because I can't work out what it is, Sam. I can't work out whether it's a
e-book
or I don't know what it is.
Okay, it's a bit of audio drama.
Ah, okay. So do we need to know who the character is?
Yes. I mean, you can probably tell from the opening line that she's had quite a few relationships. I'll tell you at the end what the kind of denouement, if you like, of the whole thing was.
Okay.
It's a very interesting few passages here. It makes you want to read more before and a more after already. It starts juicy and it's not even the start of the whole monologue, is it? It's just
in
the middle of it.
Bang in the middle of it, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it starts with the word but, and that's like, oh, okay. Right, well, I'll go first, Philip, and then you have a go. But let's see what I can pull out of this in terms of audio drama. So character, okay. But 5 years later, I met my fourth wife, had a slow and steady courtship, the longest I've ever had, and I married her a year later. She used to pull out the chair for me and let me go through doors first. She thought she was some sort of Regency lady killer. And we were very happy. Until 6 years later, when she suddenly announced that she was utterly disgusted by my signature carbonara, and in fact had always been utterly disgusted by it. It turned out the carbonara wasn't the only issue.
Nice, very steady pace.
Tried to humanise it a bit.
You did. It was lovely, actually, all of that sort of early stuff. And I mean, you did it. I was really aware of it at the beginning, and it was as if you'd never said those words before. So I loved all that.
That's what I was aiming for. So, exactly. so that's good. I was actually aiming myself slightly older than I am.
Right.
I had hunched a little bit in the booth. I mean, you always talk, Sam, about physical proximity,
yes,
and things like that, and physicality. So yes, I did find myself hunching a little. I don't know why particularly, but
well, if you're playing her older, then that, yeah, I guess that kind of goes with that.
Yeah, the way you read it as well, because it, as you say, it was those sort of raw words that you are recounting a story to a person for the first time. Mm. As opposed to, I've told this story as what has happened to me,
yep,
to many, many, many people on many, many, many occasions.
The difference, yeah, between if that had been an audio book, for instance, and it was a narrator versus a character.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah,
that would have been slightly different, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Knowing it was from an audio drama, did you think, who am I talking to?
I didn't, actually. No, and I probably should have done. Some unknown person that wanted to know about my wives.
Yeah.
You're going to say now it's a monologue from This Is Your Life.
No, it isn't that.
To Eamon Andrews.
Whoa, that's going back a bit.
Just a bit. So
good,
right.
Lord. Okay.
Philip, do you want to go?
Yeah. Okay. I've got a vision in my head with visuals, and
ooh,
and
good,
we'll see how it comes out. Yeah. Okay. Here we go. But 5 years later, I met my fourth wife, had a slow and steady courtship, the longest I've ever had, and I married her a year later. She used to pull out all the chairs for me and let me go through the doors first. She thought she was some sort of Regency lady killer. And we were very happy. Until 6 years later, when she suddenly announced that she was utterly disgusted by my signature carbonara, and in fact, had always been utterly disgusted by it. It turned out the carbonara wasn't the only issue.
I love the little,
ooh,
laugh that you put in there. It's,
yes.
She'd always been utterly disgusted by the carbonara. That was very human.
It was. It felt quite dark.
Yes.
That was dark.
Yeah.
So in your mind, was it dark, Philip?
In my mind, I had the images of here is a visual diary being played out, different scenes, this happened, that happened, going through.
Yes.
And I was that person narrating my own story over what was happening. Seeing it from above,
and it worked, yeah, like that. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Mm.
I thought we were going into a very dark place with it. I wondered what happened. I wonder what she did to the fourth wife.
Yes, if the fourth wife had been murdered off the back of that. Yes, quite.
Yeah.
Ooh, Philip, darkness coming from you.
Darkness.
Well, Sam,
yes,
is there anything else you need to tell us about it before you actually do your read?
What it was a video on a dating app.
Oh,
wow.
Nice. Wow, okay.
So she tells
her
story.
It, yeah,
yeah, she tells her story within the context of a dating app.
Yeah. Oh, that's fascinating, because that,
yeah,
changes it completely again.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Never would have seen that at all in those words.
No, nor me. Well, let's hear how you did it then.
Okay. But 5 years later, I met my fourth wife and I had a slow and steady courtship, or the longest I've ever had. And I married her a year later. She used to pull out all the chairs for me, let me go through doors first. She thought she was some sort of Regency lady killer. We were very happy. Until 6 years later, when she suddenly announced that she was utterly disgusted by my signature carbonara, and in fact, had always been utterly disgusted by it. And it turned out the carbonara wasn't the only issue.
That woman's got some bitterness behind her and that relationship. That's what comes out of that. I'm not sure if you found that person on a dating app, you'd risk it, to be honest.
Well, no, you absolutely wouldn't, particularly when you get onto subsequent wives.
Sam, that was fascinating, just seeing how it actually turned out and how you did it, because I would never have seen that coming at all. And it seems so much more lighthearted and fun. And you want to know more, especially if it's a dating app story.
Absolutely.
Hearing you do it, Philip, it could have just as easily been something
really
dark,
yeah,
and in a cell, you know, literally before she was being
you know,
taken to the gallows or something.
Well, it's worthwhile remembering that these are real scripts that we've been working on, but we've changed names and some details to avoid copyright issues.
Philip, tell us about your script. Very different.
Well, my one, I do a lot of e-learning, and they can be from, as you know, you can have real technical ones. And if I remembered everything I've done technical, I would be so brainy I could go on every single quiz show. this one is more is an e-learning. It's one which is more trying to describe to a world audience of what is happening for corporate development and for sustainability. And the main thing is people are listening to this and learning where English isn't their first language. They're all professionals, right. But English isn't their first language.
Okay.
They could be listening anywhere in the world to this. So it's a bit like having a world car.
It's a really important distinction that, Philip, actually, because that changes the read a lot in e-learning, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Exactly. You're not just going for an English language. It's not just for English as the first language. This could be English as their second language, the people who are listening to this at an international company.
Philip, are you leading into any characters here? Are you leaning into hearing Marcella? Does she actually appear?
Marcella appears, but the voice is always just explaining. It's like with this one here that will come to read. Should you do this? Should you not do this?
Right.
What are the correct answers to this if you're found, let's say, money laundering and someone tries to give you a bribe or something like that?
Oh, yeah.
Marcella, don't step away from the money laundering, love.
No, it's...
And always lock your computer.
Absolutely.
So I've already got the answer to the only question I probably would have asked, which is Marcella. And not Marcella.
Yes, fair enough.
Okay.
Because of the drama, Marcella.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
Marcella. Okay. Italiano is a restaurant chain in transition. Company management has decided to effectively embed process-oriented management. Marcella is head of corporate development at Italiano. She is now going to investigate what is required for process-oriented management and begins by looking at the status quo. She discovers that there is no uniform modelling of processes at Italiano, sometimes using PowerPoint, sometimes a modelling tool.
Good pace. I mean, for English as a second language as well, it was slow and it had slowed down enough for that. And I think that's what I'm going to find tricky about it.
Mark.
All the way through. I wonder if it wasn't almost too informative style.
No, that's useful to know because I don't do much e-learning.
It's about painting the picture, which is what you did there, Sam. And really, this bit is the most fun part of it.
Oh God, really?
Well, because after it, you know what these e-learnings become as well in the corporate world, they become very dry, very drab, and
very
with this
quickly.
As it goes on, there's just lots of question and answers and correct and. That's incorrect.
Yes.
Do you want to give it another go?
Oh, absolutely. I've done so many of those with just the single file that goes, yes, no.
So was
exactly.
I a bit conservative, do you think, then? Is
yeah,
that what
a little
you're
bit.
Thinking?
Mm.
A bit too conservative? Because I was a bit worried that if I went a bit too actory, it might be. Because I do, the only e-learning I do is I would be Marcella. I've been characters in e-learning, uh-huh. but I don't tend to do them. So that's really interesting. So I needed to be a lot more, a lot looser, a lot more storytelling.
The last e-learning that I did as a character, I played Reg, who was on his deathbed. Coughing up lots of stuff. So that was terrible for the NHS. And then the one before that, I was the narrator for an NHS one, doing much more this kind of thing and introducing the nurse that would have looked after Reg.
Well, then you know what you're doing here. So
I've seen it from both sides. Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Italiano is a restaurant chain in transition. Company management has decided to effectively embed process-oriented management. Marcella is head of corporate development at Italiano. She is now going to investigate what is required for process-oriented management and begins by looking at the status quo. She discovers that there is no uniform modelling of processes at Italiano, sometimes using PowerPoint, sometimes a modelling tool.
Okay, so I was expecting it to be more story-ish, judging from what you
said earlier.
I mean, I think, Sam, from your comment, I fell down exactly the same hole that I accused you of falling down of.
Well, no, good. No, I mean, great. Only that's really what I was questioning, because I was thinking, am I hearing something wrong? Or
No, I don't think so.
So, okay,
I think because of the speed, because it was an international audience, I fell down the same hole as you.
Okay.
But I'm interested to see what Philip does with it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. All right, here we go. Italiano is a restaurant chain in transition. Company management has decided to effectively embed process-oriented management. Marcella is head of corporate development at Italiano. She is now going to investigate what is required for process-oriented management and begins by looking at the status quo. She discovers that there is no uniform modelling of processes at Italiano, sometimes using PowerPoint, sometimes a modelling tool.
That was quicker than I expected it to be, Philip. Interestingly, and we had a slight questioning towards the end of each sentence there, but that really worked, and I fully understand why you did it that way, and that made perfect sense.
What you're not trying to do is ladle emotion over the top of it. That's what I felt from that. And so what you were doing was treading that line between, look, I'm going to give you the facts, you make up your mind about this, I'm not going to steer you one way or the other. It was a lovely reasoned read, is what I think it was.
Yeah. There isn't emotion either way. As you say, steering in a particular treating someone as if, well, listen, you're stupid and this is why you're doing this e-learning. and ultimately, you know, I've done a couple of e-learnings in my life, thankfully only literally a couple. And that's the last thing you want to do.
Yes.
Everyone wants to try and guess the answers, whether they think they know the subject or they don't.
Absolutely.
They just want to get through those slides and get to the end, get the ding, here's your certificate of done, and that's it, and go.
How do you say that?
Righto, gang, it's time for the wildcard section. Are we ready? Woo-hoo. Yes?
Yes.
Excellent.
Yes.
Let's see if we can approach these scripts in a completely different way. So, Philip, can you pick one of the scripts for Sam and give her a character and an action or a motivation for it?
Well, let's go for your script one on this one, Sam.
Okay.
How about in the style of a sports commentator?
Gosh, well that's going to be tough for me because I don't watch any sport. So, that will be very interesting for me because I don't really know what to base that on, but I'll give it a go.
I suppose choose your sport, but I suppose if it's snooker, it's going to be very slow and laboured. If it's football, it's going to be
very high action.
Normal talking, but then speeding up. If it's horse racing, well, it's all the way, you know,
number
100 on the dial for speed. So choose your sport.
Okay, I think I know what I'm going to do. Okay, but 5 years later, I met my fourth wife and had a slow and steady courtship, the longest I've ever had, and, okay, I married her a year later. She used to pull out all the chairs for me and let me go through the doors first. She thought she was some kind of Regency lady killer. We were very happy. Yes! So, until 6 years later, when she suddenly announced that she was utterly disgusted by my signature carbonara, and in fact, had always been utterly disgusted by it, it turned out the carbonara wasn't the only issue. Amazing.
I'm wondering if that may have been tennis.
Well, actually, it was golf, but it could have been any of them, couldn't it?
The structure of the beginning and the upbeat at the end of the sentence, like going for the next, but I really get that. At the end of that first paragraph, it had just putted in, hadn't it?
It had, yeah.
Yes. I get that exactly right now. Yeah.
That was brilliant as well with the going ups at the end of certain words and stuff. It worked two ways. It either had the person listening on the edge of their seat because something was going to happen next and you left it open for something to happen next, or at the same time, the presenter, the commentator's friend sitting alongside them, the analyst, the critical person, being able to then jump in there and say what they wanted to say.
It's a toughie. I really ought to watch more sport because, only because it's something that's come up before, hasn't it? Not that actual one, but and it always leaves me a bit baffled. So I really shouldn't be as baffled as I am, as it's such a thing to do.
I do sports commentator characters
quite a lot. So I do a lot of football commentary character.
Do you?
As well as F1 commentary character and horse racing commentary characters as well. So I do a lot of that kind of stuff. So you took it right down and took it the other way. And I really like that. That was nice. That was nice. Well,
I think I'd have fallen over myself if I'd have done horse racing.
Possibly so. It's very difficult. It is very difficult. Right. I'm going to suggest one for Philip now. Are you ready, Philip?
I'm ready.
And I am going to bring back and spin the wheel for you. Sam, do you want to spin the wheel?
Spin the wheel.
Okay. So, Philip, it has come up with Sherlock Holmes.
Oh.
So, however you want to play Sherlock Holmes, but the motivation for Sherlock Holmes that I'll add to this is he doesn't actually have any clues and is trying to bluster his way through. Okay, and I think we'll do it with your script, the Italiano script.
All right, okay, here we go. Italiano is a restaurant chain in transition. Company management has decided to effectively embed process-orientated management. Marcella is head of corporate development at Italiano. She is now. I think she is now going to investigate what is required for, can't be too sure, for process-orientated management, and begins by looking at the status quo. She discovers that there is no uniform modelling of processes at Italiano. Sometimes using PowerPoint, sometimes a modelling tool.
That's really clever what you did there, Philip, because I think you were talking to yourself there, almost Sherlock Holmes recounting to his own diary, maybe.
Yes.
Yeah, recounting to his own diary and also overseeing what are clues, but he can't see the clues in front of him.
Yes, that's what I thought, actually. Pulling those clues into his mind
questioning
palace.
Himself.
Mind palace.
Somebody must be able to see a clue here, but I can't, and I'm Sherlock Holmes, so there can't be a clue because I'm Sherlock Holmes.
Yes, absolutely. Exactly. You took it right down. I thought you might go right up with it, as I probably would have done, but you took it right down, and I think that was much more listenable. It was much more introspective.
Yes.
Oh, Sam, I don't know what you're going to give to me, though.
Well, I'm going to give you something. You can go either way on this. Our mark. I want to give you Peacemaker.
Right.
On the brink of a riot.
Okay.
And I want you to do the second script.
Okay. Yeah, I'm imagining a big crowd, I expect.
Okay.
Right. Yes. We know. Italiano is a restaurant chain in transition. I know. But company management's decided to effectively embed process-oriented management. Here's Marcella. She's head of corporate development at Italiano. Now, she's going to take you and investigate what's required for process-orientated management. She'll begin by looking at the status quo. Yes, each and every one of you will have your say. But she might discover there's no uniform modelling of processes at Italiano. Some of you using PowerPoint, yep? Some of you using a modelling tool?
Boo!
That was very well done.
Not sure necessarily whether we kept the piece there or not.
Yes, what a rubbish piece. No, that was so good. And once again, I am always in awe of how you use the mic, I'll be honest with you. I would have been all over the place with that in terms of me peeking. Just instinctively know what to do, don't you?
I know my microphone and my booth very well, and I have been caught out in other studios when I've gone for more or less proximity. But I think you know your own mic really, really well. I had pictured in my head, I knew exactly the character I was wearing, high vis. I had a helmet on as well.
Wow.
And I kind of felt that I had armed police around me because that crowd was getting restless, shall we say.
But you still threw Marcella under the bus. She's here to do
you
it.
You really did, didn't you? Here's Marcella.
Poor Marcella, you know, she was not going to get out of that one. Not at all. Threw her to the crowd.
Standing behind her, weren't you? Oh, she is in front of me.
Well, of course, if you want to play along in the privacy of your own booths, we've put the scripts in the show notes so you can have a try yourself.
Yes, you absolutely can. You can. And of course, now we have a question this week for Philip. You have been, Philip, a voice in all kinds of genres in the industry, but not, I don't think, as a voice actor. So all the stuff you do clearly still needs a bit of voice acting, or does it? Discuss.
Interesting, yeah.
You're right. I haven't, and it does need voice acting. I mean, really, whether you're in this profession, this career or not, in everyday life, your voice acting, if you're going to go and take something back to a shop, well, you know, you want somebody to believe what you want and to what you're saying and to do what you want ultimately, if you're in the right
really
or whatever else.
Point,
yeah,
actually.
It's almost like, you know, persuasion and, you know, do you go in hard hitting if it suddenly turns, a situation turns on you, do you go a bit more harder on something or softer?
Yeah.
But really with me, with scripts, and you can get your direction, whatever have you, I always see it as being taking a paintbrush, sticking it in the listener's ear, wiggling it about, and painting a picture.
I love that.
Wow. That is some visualisation, then.
And Philip, weren't we always taught in radio from way back in the early days, radio is painting pictures in the mind.
Yeah.
And you can spread that much more to all audio, really.
And it is one-on-one. I always, you know, whether it's a commercial, it's e-learning or whatever, radio, I always say to people, you never know what that person is doing when they are listening to whatever you are saying to them, whatever. They could be in the shower, they could be half asleep, they could be driving. So the way you put something across needs to come across and needs to take effect in their mind, whether it's that painting of the picture or explaining something in one or two more words than just the worst phrase I hate hearing is "of course." Because if it's so "of course," then why are you telling me it? You know, it's Mother's Day in 3 weeks' time. Of course. Is it? Oh, I didn't know that. You're telling me something I didn't know.
Now, Philip, you've done video games, so there is quite a lot of acting in video games. Do you ever go into sessions or jobs thinking, oh, I'm not a trained actor, I'm faking this till I make it?
Yeah, and I think on that parallel that you're with is then the people who are the actual voice actors or actors or actresses who have trod the boards or on film, in TV, and they can soak everything up around themselves. Mm-hmm. And then moving into then the voice world to take on a character would be far easier for them than me doing it the other way around. And I suppose if you were to take those people and say, right, well, I don't know, here's an e-learning or something which is very straight. You're not acting, you're not trying to do anything, they would probably struggle with that as well.
Because, Sam, this is where we are at opposite sides of the spectrum. You are a trained actor. I am a presenter. I've come from a presenter route, as Philip has. And we do come at this job from two very different directions, don't we?
We do, and we get different kinds of work. But what you were saying, actually, Philip, is really interesting because you're right. We all act our way through life.
Yes.
I mean, we don't do it consciously. But how many times have we been, you know, how many times do our nearest and dearest say, God, you change when you're with, you know, John or whatever. You know, you're quite different. And when we tell stories, we go into storytelling mode. Mm-hmm. And when we recount things, and we do different things, you know, and we have different accents, or we have different, you know, ways of saying stuff. So we all, to a certain extent, do kinds of acting all the time.
And I guess acting is just dredging that up when you need it.
Well, I think it's a little bit more than that.
Yeah, sorry to all the actors listening.
No. But what I mean is that if you do voice work, then the chances are you've inadvertently been doing more acting than you think you have.
Yeah.
You know, regardless of the stuff you've done in commercials. If you do commercials, there's a lot of voice acting in a commercial, actually.
Yep.
And in e-learning and in all sorts of things, there are ways that we all lean into, trained or not, into that kind of part of us that inhabits different characters.
And it comes back to that paintbrush and wiggling it in the ear. You're acting to convey that picture in that short space of time, that 30 seconds, or for the voiceover in a 30 second, maybe 19, and you're trying to portray that character, that situation, that for the listener to take on
what you're telling them to say, yeah, yeah, that's me, and yeah, that applies to me, and I want to buy that, or yes, I need to check that out, or read that new book or something.
Thank you so much, Philip, for coming on the podcast. It's been absolutely fascinating and lovely, lovely. I didn't know you before we came on this podcast, so it's fantastic to have met you.
And you too as well, and for Mark as well. And once again, thank you for inviting me along. It's been the best fun I have ever had on a podcast.
Oh, well, that's good. Excellent
stuff. Thank you. And of course, all Philip's details can be found in the show notes.
Yes, we'll be putting today's scripts in the show notes as well so that you can have a read yourself.
Yes, and please like and subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode. And do feel free to give us a review.
Okay, that's it for this week. Thanks again to Philip Chryscos. You can listen to him on Smooth Radio at the weekends in the mornings. We'll be back next week with more scripts and another voiceover guest when we'll be asking, and Philip, this is the bit that we all do together, okay? Deep breath. Okay. We'll be asking...
How do you say that?
How do you say that?